Is there no sound on the video? I want to point something out since I've got this opportunity on the microphone. In just a second, we're going to see a couple clips of, not that one. We're going to see a couple clips of people responding to God. I want you guys to see what it looks like, because I tried to find some different moments, either in our church or in other responses, where people were responding to God and what God wants to do in our lives. So we have a summer camp here, students raising hands. We've got a tent revival meeting where people, again, are calling out to God. We've got our people worshiping and gathering together in prayer. This was a youth group service back in March. And what was cool about that service is the students spent time, they didn't just close in worship, but like they closed the place down with worship. They ended up worshiping for about an hour after service that day. We believe that God has called us to respond to Him in worship. And so we've been doing this series called At the Altar. And the idea is to look at some of the ways that people worshiped in the Old Testament and see how that can be a pattern for today. So let's go ahead and I'm going to pray, and then we'll jump into the message this morning. Father God, I thank you that even when technology doesn't work the way we want it to, God, you are working. And God, we can trust you in everything that you have going on. God, we know that, Lord, you have a message that you want to convey to us today. So God, I pray that you would give us open ears to hear you, God, and open hearts to respond to what you would say to us today. And Lord, we just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's wild, but a massive 70% of Americans aren't very satisfied with their lives. And get this, it's happening at a time when the economy is actually doing fairly well. Wages are up, unemployment is down, everybody is chasing the American dream of more money and more stuff, but for a lot of people, they're feeling emptier than ever. So what gives? Obviously, the missing piece isn't money. Instead, I believe it's purpose, it's people, and it's community. We're super connected online, but we're more isolated than ever offline. If you think about it, we can order groceries, food, anything else we want or we would ever need without talking to another person. And ethicists say that the next generation coming after us is going to have to wrestle with the question of whether or not it's okay to marry an AI. Imagine that. Think about that for just a second. There are people that have committed suicide because of access to the internet, because of something breakdowns. There are companies that have designed chatbots that are supposed to simulate a human conversation without actually having to talk to a human. We see this all over the place. And so what we see is that a survey that was just recently done said that only 27% of Americans and Canadians would say that they are thriving in life. Only 27% would say that they are thriving, which is down from 49% just 20 years ago. When you think about what's happened in the last 20 years that might have led to that decrease in numbers. Now what I see is this is where the church comes in. This is where the church has an opportunity to step in the gap. So what I want us to do is we're going to spend the next few minutes talking about God and how He has designed us to be together in fellowship. And what I want us to do is I want us to leave here thinking about church not as an obligation, but kind of as a cheat code that says that if you want to find purpose, you want to build relationships, and you want a community that's got your back, you need to be in church. Amen? Amen. All right, one study said that church delivers happiness better than Disneyland. Think about that for a second. In a world that's trying to sell you on this idea of happiness, the church offers something real. It's a chance to actually thrive in this life. Paul said in Ephesians that God has promised, and we go to Him because we know that He's the one that can do abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. We believe that God has designed us to thrive. But the truth is then the convenience of our lives means that we're rarely forced to interact with each other. We're rarely forced to get into tough conversations. We're rarely forced to talk to people outside of like your work environment. You're rarely forced to have interactions with people. And this system works just fine. until moving day, right? And it's okay. Like, you know, you order your groceries online, you order your food online, everything you could ever want comes from Amazon, so you never have to talk to a person until it gets time to take all of that stuff that you've ordered online and put it into another place to live. And all of a sudden, you've got boxes of dishes, you've got couches, you've got furniture, you've got all of these things that you need to get from one place to another. And if you haven't taken the time to invest in relationships, you don't have anybody to help, right? Or if you're working on a group project at school, oftentimes they'll kind of force you to come together, but those are the moments when you see when your real friends are, don't you? Because oftentimes in group projects, it's one person doing all the work and four people getting the credit for it. And that's just not the way it's supposed to be. Or if your babies are sick, you haven't slept in days, and you just need somebody to come over for an hour and give you a little bit of a break, if you haven't taken the time to invest in relationships, you don't have that person to contact. Or if you're about to go out of town, so you need somebody to pet sit or to water your plants or to watch your house. And so what we see is that relationships are like a bank account. Relationships are like a bank account. You can't make withdrawals from the bank unless you've made deposits. Right? Just really, really simple, really easy. You can't make a withdrawal from that relational bank account unless you've made a deposit at one point or another. I mean, you can, but then you end up in debt, right? And that's not going to last forever either, because what happens is you start taking, you start asking, trying to get people to give to you without ever pouring back in. And what happens? You're trying to lean in, but they're all moving away from you. And that's what the debt, that relational debt causes, is that the people in your life start to distance themselves. As a pastor, I see this so often. We get calls all the time from people that just need $40 for gas, that just need some help paying their PUD bill. And when we start talking to them, when we start having these discussions with them, we find out that, well, they've isolated from their family. They don't have a friend group or a support system that they can rely on, and all of the people that they know are in the same position as them, so they can't ask them for help either. And so what we see is that people that are in that situation, part of the reason they're in that situation is because they've made so many withdrawals from the relational bank account without ever giving back, and they've ended up in a place where they've burned all their bridges, and now there's nowhere to go. So they call the church, and we do our best to help them as we can and as we have the ability to. And part of your guys' giving goes towards helping people with those benevolence funds, because we believe that we're called to be a place where people can find the help that they need, but we want to make sure that we're not just giving them a handout. We want to make sure that it's a hand up. Right? We want to make sure that we're pulling them into a better place, into a place where they can find the hope and the purpose and the relationship that they need. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but we trust God, we listen to God, and we try to do our best to be faithful when we get those calls to say, God, we're gonna respond. Or sometimes we have to help draw the line. And sometimes we have to say no because we can't help and we can't meet every need, especially if they're just going from church to church to church and collecting from all of these different organizations. So we don't want to be like that either. So here's the truth that I want us to wrestle with today, and that's if you only show up when you need something, don't be surprised if nobody's there to answer your call. Right? If you only show up when time is good, when you're in need, then don't be surprised if there's nobody left to answer your call the next time that comes up. Now, I'm teaching this today, and in a lot of ways, I'm kind of preaching to the choir because you guys are here. So for a second, I'm going to direct my attention to everybody that's watching online because I love you guys, and I want you to continue watching. And my prayer for you today, and I think the prayer of everybody in this room, would be that when you come, that you would find the community that you're looking for. That there's something you can get all sorts of teaching online. In fact, half of you guys just clicked off of it because you didn't want to be challenged today. And that's fine. But for those of you that remained, I want to encourage you today to find a church to plug into. Whether it's this one or whether it's another one, find a body of believers that are going to come around you, because as we're going to see over the next few minutes, we believe that God has called us and that God has designed the church the way that he did in order to encourage us, and we see that this can be one of the keys to happiness in our life. Because God created us to live in community. And God wants us to be a place where we can pour into others, grow together, and where people can be there for us in hard times. If you guys believe that, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. What we see here then is that, that if you want to go deeper with God, you have to go together. This is our big picture idea for today. If you want to go deeper with God, you have to go together. Now, you might be wondering, because we showed that video at the beginning and I talked a little bit about sacrifice, what this has to do with the altar. You might be asking yourself, what does this have to do with the idea of sacrifice? I thought this series was about going deeper with God and offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. And the answer is yes. And I'm glad that you asked that question. So thank you for that little bit of feedback there. See, Leviticus chapter 3 talks about another type of sacrifice. So in the first 2 weeks, we've covered the idea of burnt offering, and we've covered the idea of a grain offering. And now Leviticus 3 introduces a new type of sacrifice that might on the surface seem a little redundant. As you're reading through it, the steps to prepare the sacrifice are almost identical to the steps in Leviticus chapter 1, where it's talking about the burnt offering. What we learned about burnt offerings in week one is that we need to surrender our whole lives to God, because if Jesus isn't Lord of all, then he isn't Lord at all. And so what we saw there is that this importance that we need to follow him, we need to be listening to him, we need to be responsive to what he would tell us to do. And then last week we talked about grain offerings that are all about worshiping God with our whole lives, because praise is an act of defiant faith in the face of life's circumstances. We talked about how when we have trouble, when we have tribulation, when things come up against us, our first response should be to offer praise to God. Because it's saying to our circumstance, my dad is bigger than your dad. My dad can beat up your dad, right? And so we're looking at our circumstance, we're looking at that thing that's coming against us, and we're saying, I don't have to fight this battle because I know somebody who can. And so we see this power that God has for us in these circumstances. Today then, our thought is going to be, if you want to go deeper with God, you have to go together. So in Leviticus 3, I'm going to just go through this really quick, but we've talked about six different kind of keys to a sacrifice that God wants to give us. And we see in Leviticus chapter 3 that there's a personal offering that takes place. It's something that we give to God. Also that it needs to be perfect, right? That it needs to be something without blemish. And also that it needs to be presented voluntarily. That we have to be the ones to initiate this sacrifice to God. Next week we're going to talk about a sacrifice that isn't voluntary. And we're going to talk about a sacrifice that God commanded all of Israel to participate in. But for these first three, they've been voluntary sacrifices. It's when you feel something coming in your life, or when you are excited, or when you are scared, or when you feel like you've sinned, I want you to go and I want you to offer a sacrifice in order to see something happen. And in the same way, this sacrifice in Leviticus 3 is all about that fellowship offering. The burnt offering was for sin, or it was to make a commitment to God. The fellowship offering is an act of worship, dedication, or to seal a vow. But in both ways, we're responding to God with all of ourselves, with a perfect, or as perfect as we can get it, type of sacrifice, and we're giving it voluntarily to God. Number four was that it needs to be precious to us, that it should cost us something. It should be something that we have to give up. And we talked last week about when you're in worship, I want you to lean in. If you've never taken the opportunity to raise your hands before, maybe that's your act of sacrifice. If you've never come down front before, maybe that's your sacrifice. If you've never said amen during a sermon, maybe that's your sacrifice today. Whatever it is, we want to lean in. We want to do things that make us just a little bit uncomfortable, because what we're saying to God is, God, I trust you. God, I'm listening to you. God, I want all that you have for me. We also talked last week about how worship isn't just about the song service on Sunday mornings, but instead, worship is about what we do when we go out. In fact, this last week I posted a picture on Facebook of a bucket of weeds because I felt like God was challenging me to pull a bucket of weeds while I prayed. And so I did that multiple times. I don't know if you guys noticed the front of the church, but it's looking a lot better because I've been out there pulling weeds and just praising God and worshiping God while I do it. And it's been a cool thing. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it next week because it's really going to tie in to our sermon for next week. But we can find ways to worship anywhere. The big difference between these two offerings then is called out actually in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 19. We're just going to read the second half of the verse. It says, as for other meat, and so he's saying, when you come to sacrifice, as for the other meat, anyone ceremonially clean, I can't say that word, ceremonially, everybody say ceremonially. See, you guys struggled just as much as I did. Anybody ceremonially clean may eat it. Now what we see here is that in the burnt offering and in the grain offering, the Bible said that it needed to be completely devoured. It needed to be completely burned up. But in this one, God shifts the focus. He says, I want you to prepare an offering. I want you to lay it on the altar. And then the priest is going to take some of this offering. And after that, anything that's left over, I want you to have a party. I want you to get together with your friends. I want you to celebrate together. I want you to enjoy this sacrifice because God didn't design it just so that we were always giving to Him. But God wants us to come together. God wants us to be together. And we see that this offering was for Thanksgiving. It was given when making a vow, or it was given just when you felt like it. The burnt offering then was for surrender. The grain offering was for worship, and the fellowship offering was given with the intent of being shared. It was kind of like we're saying, God has been so good to me that I want to lay my sacrifice on the altar because I love Him, but also I want to share it with everybody around me. And that's such a powerful thought. Or there was another way. I'm ready for the next chapter in my life. I have this vow that I'm going to make. I have this commitment that I'm going to do. I'm going to start a business, or I'm getting ready to get married. I'm getting ready to move to a new place. I've got all of these expectations. I'm graduating from high school, and I need to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. And I want to make a vow right now that whatever happens in this life, I'm going to commit myself to God. So I'm going to bring my sacrifice, and I'm going to include other people in it, so that they all see and they can all help hold me accountable to the promise. See, God didn't design us to do this alone. God wants us to be together. It's so cool, honestly, that God designed the sacrificial system in this way. And He said, there might be times in your life, because this is a voluntary offering, you get to decide when you bring this. He says, there might be times in your life where you want to both celebrate and worship. So why not do both? Why not do it all at the same time? Why not get together with a church family, with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and why not just celebrate for a little bit? Why not sing songs of joy? Why not rejoice in what God has done for you? He says, when you bring this offering, I want you to bring people around, because we serve a good God who delights in His children. Right? He wants us to be happy. The Bible says that in His presence is fullness of joy. And so we see that God wants us to be happy. If He's a good God, the Bible says, that wants to give good gifts to His children. If you believe that, say amen. It's as if God is saying, I want to be included in your celebrations. When you have a birthday or an anniversary or something that you're celebrating, God is saying, I want to be included in those things. So I'm going to set up a system that allows for that to happen. He says you still have to follow a lot of the same protocols. You've got to make sure that your sacrifice is pure. You've got to make, pure sacrifice when it comes to fellowship would be, I don't want you to bring a bunch of people around so you can show them how much money you have. I don't want you to bring a bunch of people around so that you can try and sell them on your timeshare or your Cutco knives or things like that. I don't want you to bring a bunch of people around, say that you're doing it to honor God, and then pull a fast one on them. He says your offering needs to be pure when you bring it to God. It also needs to be voluntary. Nobody can force you to do it. It also needs to be something that you yourself are presenting. But when you do these things, the Bible says that God is there in our midst. He's there with His people when we celebrate. He's also there when with his people when we grieve and anytime we go through life. But there's something special about the sacrifice that God wants us to give to him. So he made a way for his people to bring a sacrifice of fellowship to be with him and with each other. And this is such a critical point because our relationship with God is personal, but it shouldn't be private. Let me say that again. Our relationship with God is personal, but it shouldn't be private. Everybody say personal, but not private. Personal, but not private. One more time. Personal, but not private. You see, we were made to be with other people. It's not good. All the way back to the garden, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. We were created to be in community. Romans 12 says that we are the body of Christ. But what good is the body if it's missing? He says, what good is the body if we're all trying to duplicate what everybody else is doing? Instead, every piece of us needs to do our part in serving the body. And the truth is there's something in us that longs for connection and for community. That's the stat that I read to you at the beginning of the sermon that said that 27% of people would say that they're thriving, down from 49% just 20 years ago. And I believe that a strong part of this is because we lack that connection. We lack that community. We lack that place where we can be involved, where we can belong, and we lack that place where we know that somebody has our back. So that when we go through hard times, we know that there's somebody there for us. So here's the question that we're going to wrestle with today for just a couple minutes, and that is, why do I need the church? Why do I need the church? If you're watching online and you haven't tuned us out just yet, I want to encourage you to write this question down and to be thinking about it. Now, some of you guys are on vacation, some of you are sick, and so we love that we have an opportunity for you to tune in. Some of you are just checking us out for the first time, and I can't think of a better sermon for you to lean in on. The question, again, we're asking today, why do I need the church? Not a building, necessarily, not a Sunday routine that we go through, but we're looking for a community that shapes, supports, and sustains us. The question is, what's missing in your life when you try to do it all alone? Or what breaks, really, when you try to go it alone? So there's four things that the Bible says that we need to be thinking about when it comes to this idea of community. And really, these are going to be four things that we miss out on if we don't make gathering together a priority. If we don't make this place park days, things like that, if we don't make them a priority in our lives, here's four things that we miss out on. I'm going to go through these kind of fast because we still want to take an opportunity to receive communion at the end of service today. Number one, God speaks through his people. God speaks through his people. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And the truth is, oftentimes, the voice of God sounds like the voice of a trusted friend. Oftentimes, when we're trying to figure out what God wants us to do, that advice, that word of wisdom, that revelation that you get from God, oftentimes it sounds just like a trusted friend. Of course, we want to listen to the still small voice of God. And I say that I teach this often, but just a little refresher for you guys that haven't heard it yet. I believe there's three main ways that God speaks to us. The first one is through his word. The first one is through his word. As we read the word of God, we begin to understand and we can begin to see the things that God wants us to do in life. We believe that this word was given to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And as we follow it, as we read it, we believe that, and we've seen it, so many of us in here can testify, that God illuminates our steps as we read the word of God. And so number one, God speaks through his word. Number two, I've taught this a lot, that God speaks through trusted friends. What you want to do is when you're trying to make a decision in life or when you believe that God is speaking something to you, but you're just not sure, you just don't have peace inside of your heart, then what I want you to do is I want you to find somebody that's gone through and that's walked with God a little bit longer than you have. Somebody that knows a little bit more about God than you, somebody that has trusted God in areas of their life, and somebody that can encourage you to do the same. You bring it to them and you say, so what do you think? But you can't do that if you're not in community with those people. So Now, first way God speaks through his word, second way God speaks through a trusted friend, and then the third way that God speaks is through that still small voice, right? It's that voice that God speaks inside of us that says, I love you, I have a plan for you, I want to accomplish something great through you. Here's what I need you to do. And oftentimes God will challenge us and encourage us in that way, to say that there's something that he needs from us or wants us to do. And so we listen to God through his word, we listen to God through a trusted friend, and we listen to God through that still small voice. And the Bible says, Philippians chapter 4, that we will receive peace, and that peace will be a guard for our hearts. And when you've listened to those three things, I would encourage you, you don't need to move unless you have that peace from God. Unless you have that understanding that God is going to get you through it. So we see that God wants us to listen to his word, to listen to trusted friends, and to listen to that still small voice. There's one caveat to what I just said that I just feel checked right now that I need to call out, and that is that sometimes God asks us to take a step of faith. In fact, oftentimes God asks us to take a step of faith. You're never going to be 100% sure. You're never going to be 100% peaceful. You're never going to have 100% confidence. But as you dive into the Word, as you listen to those trusted friends, and as you rely on listening to the voice of God, you're going to sense that peace. You're going to sense that confidence that God has for you. And God, when you sense that, he wants you to be obedient, and he wants you to take that step of faith. So when somebody has a word for me, when somebody's praying over me and they say, hey, I just feel like God is telling me to tell you this, what do I do? Well, if they're a trusted friend, I'm going to be more apt to receive it. I'm going to be more apt to listen, but I still take it to the Word of God, and I still take it to prayer, and I still say, God, is this what you have for me? And this comes up often in my life where I have people that give me advice or that want to they've been praying for me and they want to share something that God is doing. And when you have that in your life, again, we want to make sure that all three of these are in alignment. But what we see, our principle then, is that God speaks through his people, number one. Number two, God strengthens us through his people. God strengthens us through his people. And we see that in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 23, Saul and Jonathan are talking because Jonathan's father, did I say Saul? David and Jonathan are talking because Jonathan's father, Saul, King Saul, is on a mission to kill David. And David needs to flee. But before David takes off, he has this conversation with Jonathan where the Bible says David and Jonathan encourage each other and strengthen each other in God. What does that look like? It means that they're praying for each other. It means that they're reading the word of God together. It means that they're encouraging each other. It means that when they know, okay, you said that God is calling you to do this. Have you done it yet? There's a little bit of accountability there. There's a little bit of trust there. We see that God strengthens us through his people. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says it like this. It says, two are better than one. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. When two people go out, they can accomplish more than they can do on their own. But also, because if either one of them falls down, the other one can help them up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And this really encompasses everything that we're talking about today. Pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. God speaks through his people. He strengthens us through his people. And God shares his presence through his people. Matthew 18 says that where two or three gather together in my name, there I am with them. There I am with them. So we see that this isn't just talking about prayer meetings and church services. This is when you get together to play a round of golf or when your kids meet up for a play date. The Bible says that God is there, that Jesus is there, that he wants to be in those conversations. When you gather together, God is there. And what we see then is that when God is there, he shares his presence through his people. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and so we carry God's presence with us wherever we go. Now, on Wednesday night, we shared a little bit about this. We talked a little bit about this. Talked about being the temple of God and how God wants us to come together in fellowship and to encourage one another. And during that time, we asked for people just to share what God was laying on their heart. And Jamie shared just a powerful testimony of something that God had done for him that really ties in quite nicely with what I've just been talking about and with our last point here. So I asked Jamie if he would come and just share a little bit about what happened to him recently.
Well, Dave, Doug, and I were coming back from a fishing trip in Westport, and we stopped at Woodinville at the McDonald's restaurant. And a man in his late 60s greeted us at the door at the same time, and we said hi and went on in and made our order. And the three of us sat down in the booth, and then he come on over and sat down in the booth. We talked fishing for a minute. And then he said, "Hey, you know, the doc just told me 2 weeks ago that I've only got 2 years to live." So I told him, I said, "You know, we need to take this to the Lord." And he said, "You know, I've been really careless with my relationship for 10 years. And he said, even after COVID, he says, my wife and I have never gone back to church. And so he began to reveal his shortcomings. And I said, "Let's pray." So we all put our hands together. We prayed at McDonald's that the Lord would take and remove the fear, put our trust in the Lord, and revitalize his life and his home and everything about his life. And when we left, he said, "You know, God sent you to me." And so we praise the Lord for the divine appointments that God brings in our lives. Don't be scared to put it in the Lord's hands and trust him.
Amen. Amen. Man, come on, let's celebrate God together and what he did in that man's life. I wanted Jamie to share that today because, first of all, it encouraged us on Wednesday night, and I was blessed by it. But also, and so I thought that you guys would be as well. But also because it speaks to this idea that when they were out on this fishing trip and they're coming home, that where they gathered, even in a McDonald's, God was there. Right? God was in their midst in a McDonald's. But then, so our 3 points so far have been God speaks, God strengthens, and God shares his presence with us. But our fourth point today is that God sends us with his people. That when we are with the people of God, that God wants to send us out. In fact, we see in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 10, that Jesus sends his 72 disciples out, and he says, "I want you to minister around the area," but look at how he sent them out. He says, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest.'" And what happened when they returned? The Bible says that they returned with joy. Why? Because there was this fellowship, there was this camaraderie. They had worked alongside of each other. They had proclaimed the gospel, and they returned and they were joyful. And just a few verses later, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven because of the ministry that you guys were doing. And so Jesus encouraged them, and there was this joy in the meeting because they had gone out and then they had come back together and they had gathered and they had shared what they'd done. Don't just go out and never come back. Don't just take what you've been given right now and think that you've got enough to sustain you long term. God wants us to go out and he wants us to come back. And when he does, we want to encourage each other. We want to lift each other up because God wants to do great things both in us and through us. So we see again, God speaks to us, he strengthens us, he shares his presence, and God sends us with others. Some of my favorite times of the year are when I get to go to some of the pastors' conferences that we go to, because it's an opportunity for me to get around my peers, to get around the people that encourage me, that understand a little bit of what I'm going through. I can talk to them, and I always leave feeling both refreshed, motivated, equipped, ready to go, and ready to get at it again, because I've been around people that strengthened me and encouraged me and lifted me up. up. And there's this feeling when we go to those conferences that, not only has God encouraged us, but also now God is sending us back to where we are. And that's what God wants for all of us. So today, we want to start and end today with joy. We want to understand that on our own we might experience God, but it's so easy to drift or to stall out. But with others, you're encouraged, you're corrected, and you're strengthened. So if you want to go deeper with God, you have to go together. Think about it like this. There's a personal part to worship, right? The Bible says that Jesus often got alone to be with his Father, but it also says that Jesus knew that in order to accomplish the will of God, he had to connect with his disciples. So there was this personal part of it, but there was also a communal part to even Jesus's worship. If your relationship with God is incredible, you're depriving the body of Christ of the encouragement that you can bring. If you are on one of those mountaintop moments where everything is going great and you don't come back and you don't share it with us, we don't get to be encouraged. We don't get to be lifted up. We don't get to be blessed. But also, if your relationship with God is struggling or if there are things in your life that aren't going well, you're depriving us of the opportunity to minister to you and to strengthen you and to encourage you. So, We don't want to go alone. Everybody say, don't go alone. Everybody say, I won't go alone. Hebrews 10 says, let us consider how we may spur one another along towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. We want to encourage each other. We want to lift each other up. So don't go alone. Our take-home challenge for today, if I can have the worship team go ahead and join me on stage, our take-home challenge for today is an appointment card. And what I want you to do is I want you to set two appointments today. The first one is an appointment with God. It's a when and a where. God, where do you want me to go where I can be alone with you? Now, this is taking it a step further than what we've done the last 2 weeks, where the first week was, I just want you to set your alarm clock 5 minutes earlier. The second week was, I want you to find times during your day when you're doing dishes or you're commuting or things like that, and I want you to spend some time worshiping God. Today, we're going to set an appointment. Today, we're going to say it can be 15 minutes on your way home from work where you stop by a park or something. It could be you get up even extra earlier than 5 minutes early so that you can have a little bit of extended time with God this week. Where does God want to meet with you? We want to offer to God this sacrifice of praise today. So we're going to set an appointment with God. We're also going to set an appointment with a believer, with a brother or sister to strengthen and encourage us. Take them to coffee, call them on your lunch break, find some way to connect with them, even if you're just exchanging text messages, find some way to strengthen and encourage somebody because it's going to encourage you as well. So I want you guys to do those two things, set those two appointments, and then also, or maybe for you, maybe your appointment with another person is just to come to the park days. And I want to encourage you to do that as well, because this is where, as a body, we come together just to hang out and just to fellowship. Now, if for some reason that seems intimidating to you, and I know for some of you it is, and you're like, I'm not really sure about the idea of just showing up at a picnic and I've got this food to bring, but I don't know if anybody's going to like it. And, you know, for some of you in here, you just get in your own head. And I understand that. What I want you to do is I want you to fill out one of the next steps cards, and I want you to look for a place to serve. Because some of my best relationships have been built not face-to-face over a dinner table, but side-by-side as I'm working. And truthfully, there's a lower barrier to relationships when you're standing at the door and greeting with somebody, and you're looking out the door, or when you're driving and you're facing forward, but you can just have these conversations. It lowers that bar to entry into a relationship, and it gets you around a team of people that are heading in the same direction. So I didn't put that on your take-home card because I really want you to focus on investing in relationships. But if you're having a hard time getting started, this is a great way for you to get started. There's lots of opportunities, lots of places where you can get involved. I would encourage you just to pick one. Fill out the card, drop it in the offering box on your way out, and we will contact you this week. Or there's a QR code there that you can scan as well to initiate that process. We'll contact you this week and let you know how you can get involved in what God is doing around here. So, The fellowship offering then reminds us that communion with God always overflows into communion with his body. At the altar, God's presence is shared. In church, God's presence is experienced together. So if you want more of his presence, don't walk alone. We want to walk with the people of God. If you'll commit this week to finding time to spend time with God and finding time to spend time with another believer, why don't you just go ahead and raise your hand really high right now. Come on. All across this place. All right, you guys can go ahead and put your hands down. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this commitment that we've made today. God, I pray as we receive communion together now, God, I ask that you would help us to trust you, to lean in to what you're doing. But God, I pray that this communion would not be just an isolated experience, but God, that you would help us to experience this together, to experience this in the community of believers that you've called us to be a part of. Because God, you want us to worship you together. We believe that in Jesus' name. So, right now I'm going to invite everybody, every single one of us, to come forward together. And what we're going to do is we're going to receive, we're going to come down front, we're going to grab one of these communion cups. And when you grab it, you'll notice that there's two cups here, okay? The bread is on the bottom, so make sure you grab both cups. And then I'm going to ask you just to stay down front here. Because today we're going to receive communion together. Now, some of you guys have a harder time getting around, so we've got some hosts that will come and bring you a cup. But for all of you that are able, why don't you guys go ahead and stand to your feet right now and come down front and let's receive communion together. As you grab the cup, make sure to step off to the side so that everybody can participate, and then we'll take communion together. So don't take it quite yet, but grab a cup. And go ahead and do that. Now here we practice open communion. So anybody, as long as you are a believer in Christ, can participate. We want to encourage you to do that today. Let's go ahead and sing this chorus together. Or verse.
The wages of my sin was death. You knew I couldn't pay the debt. You paid it with your final breath. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You took the wrath that I deserve. Your holy blood broke every
worship together.
Praising Christ and Christ crucified in you. We're raised from death to life. We sing Christ and Christ crucified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So I kind of like this. I didn't intend for it to intentionally happen, but I kind of like how we've done this, how we've kind of started to form a circle, and we can all look at each other, and that's pretty cool. So find a spot, you know, as we're connecting here. And for those of you guys that, you know, if you have a harder time standing up, feel free to sit on the front row there. But we want to just receive communion together right now, and then we're gonna take the opportunity to pray for each other. But let's go ahead and receive communion. So first, we're gonna take the bread, and he says here, This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you for the body of Christ. That means that we could be a part of your body today. And Lord, we receive this right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go ahead and take the bread together. And then let's go ahead and take the cup. And he says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." And what we see is it's because of Jesus' sacrifice that we're able to gather together. None of us would be here if it wasn't for the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But because he gave to us, it enabled us not only to have a relationship with him, but a relationship with our family. So as we take the cup today, we just want to celebrate and say, God, thank you so much that you gave your son, that we might have a relationship with you, and that we might also have a relationship with each other. God, without you, we wouldn't have us. And so, God, we're so thankful for all that you've given to us. God, we're thankful for this body that you've placed us in, and we're thankful for the sacrifice that brought us together. Lord, we just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and receive the cup together. Amen. Before we go back into a time of worship, since we're all standing basically in a circle, and if you're not included in the circle, if you can find a way to get in, if you're sitting out in the pews, just stretch your hands forward. Let's grab hands. We don't do this often enough, but if I could get some people to kind of fill in here on either side of me, if you guys want to come this way, there we go. Let's grab hands for a second. Just want you to take a minute to pray for the person on your right and your left. You may know them, you may not, and that's okay. But I want to encourage you today just to begin to pray God's blessings on them, pray God's provision for them, pray that God would help them in the stresses of life. Let's just go ahead and lift up the people on either side of us right now. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. God, we just pray that your hand would be upon us right now, God. God, strengthen us and encourage us, Lord. God, we need you, God. We need your spirit, Lord. But God, we also need each other. So God, help us to call out. God, I pray that Lord, you would help us to find that community, God, together, Lord.